I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and of course, I am thrilled to be here with you. So what's going on in the world today? Here we sit, every single day looking at the next atrocity that we're seeing with the violence in our streets. We're seeing the lies coming out of political campaigns. We're seeing our politicians like slithery snakes running around doing things to undermine our country and not protect our country. So one of the things that has come up recently is that there was a report in the magazine called The Atlantic that four unnamed sources have said that when President Trump was in Europe, he was at a military cemetery, and he called them, called the dead, our honored war dead, who died and were buried there. He called them losers and other derogatory names. And of course, the press went wild with this. They started asking everyone, can you believe the president would say such a thing about military? He really doesn't care. He hates the military. This goes coinciding with a statement Nancy Pelosi made a week or so ago, where she came out and said she didn't think that military ballots from soldiers overseas should be counted. Now, the reason being is they don't even live here in America, because they know that there's going to be a wave of military support, just like there is law enforcement support for President Trump in this election. Does anybody believe that President Trump really holds those kind of feelings? I mean, you could say a lot about this guy, but since day one, he's talked about the military and about law enforcement being very, very high on his agenda to make sure he does the right thing for them. To think he would call military dead losers is, I can't even believe such a thing. Now, the four sources who will not come forward, isn't that funny? That's our press today. They just, four sources, and they won't come forward, so we won't say who they are. They can't be questioned. We can't find out anything they had to say about this, but we're supposed to believe them. Now, of course, if you are an anti-Trump person, you're going to believe this hook, line, and sinker, because you want to believe he is an evil, bad man who at any moment really hates America, hates minorities, hates women, hates all these different groups that are aggrieved in our country. You want to believe that if you are so predisposed to such a thing. On the other hand, if you're not, if you're a Trump supporter, or if you are a clear-thinking individual, you have to listen to that kind of a report and say, okay, well, have we heard any fake reports come out of the media in the past about President Trump? If this has never happened before, if everything that the media had come up with all of their anonymous sources had been true, you'd have to say, you know what, I don't know, maybe it's possible that he did say that about our military. But how many of these previous things that they've come up with anonymous sources have turned out to be absolute nonsense? I'm going to say almost every single one that I can think of. You know, we could always go back to the fake impeachment where they made up that stuff. The Russia interference. Now, here's where we need to parse this Russian interference, because it's coming up again. The people on the left are coming up with, well, there's going to be Russian interference in this election, and they're going to be doing it for Trump. Because in reality, Vladimir Putin wants someone who's as strong as Trump, who will step on his toes at every opportunity and call him out. That's who he really wants in office. He doesn't want a weakling like Joe Biden that he can run over the top of. No, Putin wouldn't want that. He'd rather have Trump, the guy who puts sanctions on him and calls him out like no other president has. Right? Is that what we believe? This is where this doesn't make sense. So we know that they've lied about things in the past. Now, the parsing that goes on with Russian interference, because Kamala Harris is now coming out, and she is saying that she sees interference in the 2020 election in favor of Trump. Again, it's clear. She was in intelligence committee reports, and she knows all of this interference. Well, let's figure out is there Russian interference at all in our elections? I would say yes. I think many countries want to interfere in our elections. Didn't President Obama interfere with the Israeli elections? He absolutely did, and very openly. But isn't that meddling with another election of another country? Obama did it, and the press thought it was a great idea, right? So we know that people do that. We know governments do that. What kind of meddling, though? See, this is the difference. What kind of interference? If the interference is he gets, you know, Putin gets Trump on the phone. Hello, President Trump. This Putin here. I tell you what, we're going to go $400 million and we're going to make people push the lever for you. We're going to send the KGB over there undercover and they're going to make people vote for you. Oh, that's big league. That's big league. Hey, Vladimir, thank you. Is that the kind of collusion? That's the kind of collusion that they've tried to pretend happened, which we know is nonsense. We know that four very deep investigations could not find any collusion between President Trump and the Russian government or Putin individually. We know that, and we also know that they faked up evidence. They faked up arrest charges. They faked up the impeachment over that. The kind of Russian interference I think there is that the Russian government may want certain types of policies pushed, so they might buy ad space. They might buy Facebook ads that say one thing or another. Okay? Same thing with the Chinese. The Chinese have a real vested interest. Look at how President Trump is knocking them around. As tensions rise between us and the Chinese, and the reason that they're rising is because Trump is stepping on their toes. He's not letting them get away with things they got away with lots of other previous administrations. This is just the reality. You have to look at the facts. He's bringing manufacturing back. He's trying to cut back on the business we do with them. That has to make them extremely nervous. Because, of course, they make trillions of dollars off the United States. And if we back away, that's going to be a problem. So there's been rumors out there, and I don't have a source. I had just heard some news reports that there was some evidence out there that the Chinese want to back Joe Biden. Well, why would that be? Well, they're a communist government. The people who are actually going to be running the government if Biden is elected are socialist communists. So there's a natural affinity between them and the type of policy. Not only that, the Chinese know they can run roughshod over Joe Biden. He's not going to be able to stand up to President Xi. He's not going to be able to do any of the things that Trump does. Not that he might not want to do it. I don't know. I don't think he physically can do it. But there's also that pressure from within his party to acquiesce to the Chinese. That's what it seems like. Pretty obvious to me. And I'm trying to look at it. Obviously, I'm trying to make a decision here. Who am I going to vote for that's going to be the president of my country? Which direction do I want to go in? If you're sitting out there as just a partisan, I'm a Republican. I don't care what anybody says. I'm just voting Republican because they're the best. Well, if the other side had a good policy or a good plan that would be better for our country, as an American, you have an obligation to look at it. Same thing to our friends on the left. We have to look honestly at what's going on. Who is going to better guide our country as we go forward? Who's going to be better for our economics? Joe Biden, who says he's going to increase taxes $4 trillion, but only on people who make over $400,000. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe that taxes are only going to affect those over $400,000? I, for one, do not believe it. It's going to end up coming down to all of us, one way or another. So who's better? Trump, who's proven he can take a very, very slow, sluggish economy and turn it into the greatest economy the world had ever seen. And he did that in 3 years. I think he can do it again. So, ding, there's one for Trump. I think he's better on the economy. Who's better for our military? Who's a better choice for our military? Joe Biden, who wants to defund the military, who wants to cut back, who many in his party see the United States military as a force for evil in the world? I don't think I believe that. I think I have seen what our military has done around the world for the world many, many times. We have saved the world from itself, actually, many times over. Or Donald Trump, who is given the greatest buildup we have seen since Ronald Reagan to make our forces strong and powerful and make them a player on the world stage again that has to be respected. Well, I think that's probably a good thing. I do not see the United States military as a force for evil. I see the United States military as a force for good. What I do see it as is a very big problem for people out there who want to hurt America. If you want to do things negative to America that involve violence, attacking us, you have the United States military to deal with. And that is the greatest gift that we can have as a nation, to have that very, very powerful military to stand up for us, to protect us from forces around the world who, if they had the opportunity, would take us out. Make no mistake about it. So let's go. Ding is another one for President Trump. We see violence in our streets. We're seeing this rioting, this looting, this burning is metastasizing. It's growing from city to city to city. Now, if a lot of us are sitting back going, well, nothing's happened in my town, you know, but I'm watching it on the news every night. And boy, it looks pretty bad. They're smashing all those windows. People are stealing all that stuff. And nobody's doing anything about it. Well, that is emboldening people to go out and do things similarly in different cities. People, I'm going to guess, are waiting for an incident to take place in their city as an excuse to go out and do these kind of things. So we have to separate the legitimate protesters who have something to say. They do have something to say, and we should all be listening. We should have a conversation among all of our people to see where can we improve, how can we be better at what we do, what are we doing right and wrong, and how do we go forward as a nation all together. But that's been usurped by people who've been waiting in the wings for an opportunity to change how we live in our country, to change the very nature of the United States of America. Now, I look at that and I say, where does Joe Biden stand on that? Joe Biden says he's against all kinds of violence, but he will not call out the violent groups by name. He won't do it, which tells me he's kowtowing to them because he knows he's afraid he's going to lose votes if he calls them out, right? Let's look at President Trump. He calls them out by name. He calls people out by name when he sees that they're doing something that's not appropriate. He's strong about law and order. Do you think law and order is important? Does it mean anything to you? It'll probably mean a lot to you when they stop your wife's car with your kids in it and yank them out of the car. Or they carjack the car. Or they smash the windows in. Or they do something violent. Right? Or what if you're in the hospital and you're waiting for your doctor and your doctor can't get there because he's stuck in one of these roadblocks where they won't let people through? Right? Where do I go down? Who's better? Who's going to be better to fix that? Because we cannot fix the problems that we have in our country if we are in chaos with cities burning and violence exploding everywhere. We cannot fix the problems. So therefore, the violence must stop first. Now, it should stop by saying the violence needs to stop. We always talk first. But if it doesn't, we have to look at stronger measures. You cannot just allow cities to burn every night. There are innocent people that live in every one of those communities that do not want their businesses, their livelihoods, their homes to be burned. They do not want their children shot sitting on a porch or riding in a stroller. These are American citizens. These are our brothers and sisters, regardless of their race, creed, or religion. These are Americans, and they do not deserve to have to live in that kind of chaos because there are groups of people who are using it to create some other kind of problem or to create change that they see as the way they think we should go. We have a process for that. That's called an election. You put your ideas out and people vote on them. And you know what? Our system is set up so that if somebody came out there and said, I want to be a dictator, I want to run this country as a strong man, a solid strong man, and I'm going to be a dictator, and that's how I'm going to, and he gets on the ballot, and enough people vote for that person, then that's the kind of government we'll get. You know, it's kind of funny. We've said before that our Constitution, it was not created to be a suicide pact, but it certainly got that written right into it. There is no exclusions of who can run for office in our country. So you can have an absolute socialist dictator run for office under those premises. And if enough people want to live that way, they can vote for them and that takes it over. Which is funny because the first thing they would do is get rid of the Constitution. See, so that's where they say it's a suicide pact, because you can vote in someone who'll get rid of it and change all of our lives. So who's gonna be better at that? Joe Biden? To let that usher its way in? We see all the people behind him who are really going to be running the party. AOC, the Squad, Bernie, who obviously they had to make a deal with Bernie, right? And he says his policies that were once considered radical are now seen as mainstream. Now, this is where we're taking the country. This is what we're going to do. Thank you, Bernie. Sit down and shut up, because you're dangerous and these policies are dangerous. So I have to think about it clearly. Are they better policies, right? Or are they not better? I'm looking to see what's best for me and my family. Socialism or capitalism? Ding, 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 ding. Got to go with President Trump on that one. Okay? So that's 3-0 so far. I'm trying to be open. I'm trying to figure out if Biden has something better to offer me and my family, I should be aware of it. And I should be able to look at it and say, this is why it's better. And I will vote for that. I don't see it, ladies and gentlemen. I do not see it. Now, Joe Biden was out speaking somewhere. I think it was Pennsylvania. I'm not positive. It was in the Midwest somewhere. And a young woman came up to ask a question. And she got up to ask a question of candidate Biden. And she held up a piece of paper and she says, Mr. Biden, I can't ask this question that they gave me. Someone gave her a question to ask. Who do you think gave her that question? The Biden campaign gave her a question to ask the candidate. Did the media jump up and down about that? Imagine if somebody got up at a Trump rally and said, Mr. President, I have to ask you this question that your campaign gave me to ask. Can you imagine? The screaming, the heads exploding, the stuttering, the spitting, the absolute loss of their minds our media would have if somebody in the Trump campaign planted a question like that in the audience so that Trump had an answer prepared for it. Well, that's pretty much what it looked like happened with Joe Biden there, and not a word. Not a word. We saw it in a couple social media things. It was on a couple of news broadcasts, but nothing other than that. So is socialism better than our capitalism? No, it's not. It's not. And I feel very, very uncomfortable and sad that so many of our young people think it is an option because they're being played. I don't think they're dumb. I think our young people are very, very smart. But I think they're being played. They're being played by all these other groups. They're being played by what people are teaching them in schools. We see some of these teachers, the things that they're saying. I love teachers. I think teachers are great. I have seen teachers very patriotic, and I've also seen a lot of teachers that are very socialist. And neither one of those things, other than civics, should be taught in our classrooms. Teaching political opinion that is anti-American is really a danger, and that's why so many of these young people see socialism as the better choice, and that's what we should pick going forward. So that's just the beginning here on Chasing Justice for this episode. We'll be back in a minute, and we got lots more to talk about. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe.
Spreading the outlaw truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, let's get right back to it. Lieutenant Joe Pangaro here for Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Now, one of the things that I want to tell you about, I've been really, really humbled by the fact that, my years as a police officer, a detective, as a supervisor, I tried to use all of that experience when I created my company, True Security Design, to teach and train law enforcement people, school personnel, business people on safety and security topics. Well, one of the things that I found during my career as a law enforcement officer, especially in the investigative divisions, but really it was used everywhere, but I was actually honed when I was a detective for 13 or 14 years, was the ability to interview people. Now, there's lots of different companies and individuals who teach interview techniques. You know, you can find them all over the place. But I found that a unique way that I ended up doing it, based on what I had learned from experience, watching my partners, watching other people talk to people, how they did it. And I come to realize that the number one thing to connecting to anyone during an interview is to create a bond. And that's where I wrote my book. I originally called it The Art of Interview, because I have a bigger book coming out called The Art of Investigation, and it covers everything about investigating everything. Well, my publisher is looseleaflaw.com. They are a company that puts out a lot of books and materials for law enforcement, stuff on guns and gun handling, safety and security, fire departments, lawyers, all kinds of stuff. So looseleaflaw.com. So you can go there and look at it. My publisher, a really nice woman, she says, listen, this interview sounds really good. Why don't we call the book The Interview? And you can talk about your technique and how you do it, and we'll put this book out. And I was humbled, because to write a book is no easy thing. But I finally got through it. It's ready to go. So The Interview should be out. You should be able to find it on looseleaflaw.com, and also Amazon, bookstores, all over the place. And it'll be on the AmericaOutloud.com platform under the bookstore. We're going to have it up there probably early November. I think it'll be there for just in time for Christmas. So one of the things, when you start to look at a book and you say, okay, this book is good, I really want to get the information out because I want to help law enforcement people be better at what they do. Corrections officers, cops, detectives, anybody who has to interview. I said, but how else can I do a little give back to law enforcement, to the men and women of law enforcement? How else can I help them? Well, who are the most vulnerable among us when it comes to law enforcement? These are our injured, our wounded, our disabled police officers. So another great guy here on AmericaOutloud.com is Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Lieutenant Randy has started the Wounded Blue organization, which does a lot of work for law enforcement, for injured and disabled police officers. So I talked to the publisher, and I had said, listen, I really want to do something to help these wounded officers. You know, how can I do it? So she was great. She says, we love cops. So why don't we set it up where we can make a donation for every book sold? We can send money to Randy's organization, Wounded Blue. I said, that's great. How do we do it? Well, guess what? Anybody that buys a book, you go on looseleaflaw.com. In the search bar, you just put in Pangaro. You'll see The Interview come up. When you purchase the book, if you put in this code, PTGWB10, which is Pangaro Training Guide Wounded Blue 10, when you put that code in there, PTGW10, $1 from the sale of every single book will go to Lieutenant Randy's group, The Wounded Blue, and will help police officers who are injured or disabled. I can't think of a better way to use any funding that comes from this book to help my brother and sister cops who have been hurt or injured. And I know a lot of you out there feel the exact same way. So if you want to help Lieutenant Randy, you want to help injured police officers, and you want to buy my book, use that code, PTGWB10. All right? And you can get the book, which will help any law enforcement officer, and you can help the wounded police officers in America. So I wanted to push that out there because, you know, I asked Randy to read the book before we decided to do this, and he gave me a very nice review. He really was flattering to me, but I got to tell you, the information is solid. I've used it for my whole career. Anyone who has to interview can benefit from this book, and the fact that our wounded police officers and disabled officers can also benefit, I feel really good about that. So go take a look, looseleaflaw.com. All right, so enough about that and helping our brother and sister cops. Which brings me to an interesting thing. Now, how come we're not seeing Joe Biden all over the media, making comments, talking about things? He came out the other day, and he was in Kenosha, and he came out, and he was there ostensibly to, you know, see Jacob's family, the man who was shot by the police, and he wanted to, you know, talk to them and see them. Yeah, very nice. Good for him to do that. And he's there, and as he's talking to the press, he says, I could tell you about my economic policy, but they'll shoot me, meaning his advisors. They'll shoot me if I talk about my policy. Why wouldn't he talk about his policy? It was only two reasons. One, they're holding back for a bigger moment. Or number two, they know if you start talking about what you're going to do, raising people's taxes, you're going to lose a lot of people, Joe. So keep your mouth shut. But that's just another one of those insights that we get from Joe Biden, because I don't believe he's fully functioning intellectually. I think he's failing just because of old age. I think it happens. All right, people falter. You know, all of us, we all start to slow down as we get older. And I think he is. And when he let that slip out, you know, oh, I can't talk about it, they'll kill me. Well, only one of two reasons. They're holding it back for some big reveal, or you really shouldn't reveal the facts of your program, Joe, because people are not going to be happy with getting taxed out of their eyeballs and ruining the economy again, right? So I see that. But my question is, why don't we see Joe Biden making statements? Why don't we see him tweeting? Why don't we see him talking, going on all these news shows? Very, very limited. When he does take questions, we now know that most of them are faked up questions that are planted in the audience so he's ready to answer. Who do we see, though? Kamala Harris. She's popping up all over the place. She's got something to say because, you know what? I don't think she's addled. She's pushing the message really strong. Now, if we look at Kamala Harris and we look at her history and we look at her, she's rated as the most liberal senator in the United States Senate. She has flip-flopped openly on so many things that she believes in to be expedient, to be on the Biden ticket, that we have to really question what she's doing. Now, of course, the media will not question her. They will not talk about flip-flopping. They will not say, didn't you just say this? Nobody will say, during the primary, when you called Joe Biden a racist and he was no good, and I know they've asked that question around in a roundabout way that let her say, hey, that was the primaries. You know, no, he's really a good man. No, you were calling him a racist and a horrible person. And now you're on his campaign. He's the greatest guy for America. Right? Isn't that strange? She also is the person who was going after our judge on the Supreme Court, wasn't she? Yeah, didn't she go after him really hard? And here's Joe Biden who has accuser who says she sexually assaulted her. He's touching people all the time, really uncomfortably. Me Too doesn't go after him. And now Kamala doesn't say anything about it. Well, she was going after Judge Kavanaugh as though she was the one who was assaulted. And now, well, here's good old Joe. Not a word about it. Nothing. Don't you find that interesting that she's out there talking, he's not? She's flip-flopped on a million things. I'm just looking at it, honestly. I'm looking at it honestly. I don't see, you know, somebody who changes that radically, why would you change your point of view that radically? Okay? There's only a couple of reasons. Number one, you've had a great enlightenment. By sitting and talking with Joe Biden, you've realized the greatness of the man. You've overcome all the negative things you thought about him and told everyone about. And you realize he is not only brilliant, but he is the greatest leader that should take our country to where it has to go. And you are willing to support him. Anybody believe in that? I don't think I'm believing that. I think it's just expedient. She's in the background. They know she's going to be running the government. Her and a conglomeration of those on the left, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the squad, those people, and Bernie are going to be calling the shots. And Joe Biden is going to end his career as, you know, a three-time loser, but this time he got it. Oh boy, Joe was the president, right? Is that what we really want to have happen in our country? No, that brings me to, we're seeing a little bit, I think, of a red wave starting to build. Now, I think that's the reality. We had six mayors in Minnesota, Democratic mayors, right? Democratic mayors who voted for Obama, who are very, who are liberal people. And six of them wrote a letter, got together and said, based on economic realities that Trump had created while he was the president in his first term, we have got to endorse President Trump and say we need another term of President Trump, not Joe Biden. Joe Biden's policies will destroy the economy. President Trump's policies will revive the economy again and keep Minnesota and a lot of other states doing very well, which we talked about before, right? When we gave a little rundown of the two candidates and who's offering what. Well, since that time, I was watching this, the one mayor, and I wish I could remember her name, very articulate, really nice woman. She came out and said, actually, there's a seventh mayor, who a Democrat mayor, who's now jumped on board and said, we got to have Trump. We can't have Joe Biden. He'll destroy the economy. So I think that's out there. And you're seeing this red wave start to build. Here is my concern. We know that potentially, and I use that word very specifically, potentially voting by mail could be made much safer. It could be made much more reliable. We have the technology to do these things. The way it's being pushed and used right now, we have states that are doing it that do not have the infrastructure to count the ballots properly. We have ballots that require a signature here, an initial there, a push of a button over here, all these different things that we see thousands of ballots that are discounted because people didn't sign it in the right place, they didn't initial it, they didn't check something off the right way. What's going to happen when we have 150 million votes or 120 million votes going in and we can't determine what's going on? The reason I'm concerned is because this red wave, I think, is building. And if we just went by regular voting, I believe President Trump would be reelected. I honestly believe, only because of evidence of past actions on the part of our friends on the left, the Democratic Party, I honestly believe they will do everything they can to steal the election. If that means cheating, lying, faking up ballots, ballot harvesting, playing on elderly dementia patients, getting their votes, throwing away Republican votes, I absolutely believe they will do it. And that is why they are pushing so hard for this vote by mail, because it gives them an easy opportunity to create chaos and to cheat. Right? Now, you have to look at it and say, okay, one party's for it, one's not. The two arguments. Our friends on the left will say Trump doesn't want mail-in voting because he wants to suppress the votes of people who are afraid of coronavirus and won't go to the polls. So therefore, he doesn't want those people, Democrat people, to vote. Okay? Or the alternative could be he sees the potential flaws like many do, including many Democrats in the past who have done commissions on this and said, vote by mail is prone to failure, prone to fraud. That's just a fact. When you just send ballots to people because their names are on rolls, and we know the rolls are out of date, there's dead people on there, people who have moved away, there's all kinds of problems with the rolls, and they're just going to send out millions and millions of ballots to these addresses, and people are going to get them. And what if there was like 9 people that lived at the house you're living in now, and you get 9 ballots, and why can't you just check off Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden 9 times and put them back in the mail? And they're going to get counted as 9 votes for Joe Biden. Doesn't anybody see that that's a problem? Because one party wants it and one doesn't. You have to either say it's because Trump wants to suppress votes. No, you can go to the polls. Dr. Fauci, the great, the awesome Dr. Fauci. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Go out, don't go out. Wear a mask, but I'll don't wear a mask at a baseball. You know that guy? He's come out and said, it's very safe to go vote at the poll. It's very safe to go vote at the poll. We can do it. We can riot so we can go vote to the poll. We can go to Walmart so we can go vote at a poll. We can go to restaurants now. So I think we can go to a voting place and we can vote in person. The reason that our friends on the left want to do this write-in ballot by mail is because it is so prone to fraud that it can be easily twisted. Now, both campaigns right now, the Biden and the Trump campaign, are loading up on lawyers, getting ready to contest this entire thing. Do you see what a chaos this is? We're already getting ready. We know there's going to be nothing but chaos because you can't count on write-in votes or ballots like that. As opposed to, as A.G. Barr said, when you request an absentee ballot, we know who asked for it. We know where you live and you send that ballot. That's legitimate. People do absentee balloting all the time. This is not that. See, and people are trying to we do absentee balloting all the time. It's perfectly legitimate. This is not that. They are just mailing out votes wholesale by the millions that people can just fill in any way they want and send them back. Right? So the other day we had President Trump come out and make a statement. And I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He says, listen, if you get a vote, if you get a mail-in ballot, fill it out and send it in. Then go to your polling place and vote. And our friends on the left in the media went crazy. He's telling people to vote twice. He's telling people. This is the group that has dead people voting all the time, right? This is the people that cheated and set up the FBI and the Department of Justice to fake up a crime that our president was supposedly involved in and do an impeachment based on not. This is the same people are now saying this about him. If you listen, what he was saying was, hey, if you send in a mail-in ballot and then you show up at your polling place, you shouldn't be able to vote when you get to your polling place because they're going to have some way of knowing you already sent in a mail-in ballot. So therefore, when you get there, they'll say, I'm sorry, you already sent in a mail-in ballot. You cannot vote. Then that would kind of show that the system had some checks and balances. But we all know that's not how it's going to work. You can send in some states, you can send your ballot in the day before the election. It might take 3, 4, 5, or 9 days to get to the counting place. So in that time, you sent that ballot in. Now you go to the poll, you push that button for your candidate. Your ballot, your paper ballot, the mail-in ballot gets mailed in. Do you think they're going to cross-check the polls to see? How are they going to know? They're going to look, oh, did you sign in? Well, yeah, we signed in, and he has a vote here, so we're going to they're not going to discount anything. That's where the fraud comes in, right? Because for the most part, I don't think people on the right cheat at these things. I know some do. I know some do. You can probably give me examples. But for the most part, people on the right don't cheat. We see our friends on the left cheat all the time. What do you think the investigation about with the Russians and the president was? The biggest attempted coup d'etat in the history of our country. And nothing happening. We're just kind of letting it go. The media just, no big deal because they're all in favor of it. So it was okay. You know, it was a good try. You know, oh, they slap each other on the back. They deny that it actually happened. And we have Attorney General Barr that is doing this great investigation. But, you know, we don't hear a word about it. Wouldn't it be nice to know that this was all faked up? People should know that before the election. I think it would be fair if people knew who did the wrong things and see some people get arrested if they did the wrong things. Or find out they didn't do anything wrong. We looked at it perfectly legitimate. Everybody was legitimate. Either way, this is the potential for fraud by this vote by mail nonsense. And we know that it's going to happen. We know we've already seen the fraud in front of us. Think about that. At this point, I don't think there's anything we can do about it. This train is heading down the road, and we can't count on the courts to look at this and say the legitimacy of our election is at stake here. Therefore, everyone goes to the polls. If you want to fix this for the next time, you have 4 years to figure it out. Right? Why didn't we figure it out for the past 4 years? That's another indicator that this is fraud. This is trickery. This is another opportunity to steal the election from the people who vote for president. I'll be back in a minute. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro giving you food for thought, I hope.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back, my friends, to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Hey, listen, I talked a little before about Lieutenant Randy, but I got to tell you, there's lots of other great people on this radio station, and it's probably the best place for talk radio anywhere you could find. So listen to other programs. Check them out. There's something for everybody on here. You know, I have the app on my phone, And I open it up all the time. When I'm in the car, I plug it into the, you know, the media player thing or whatever they call it in the car. When I'm at home, I'm working in the yard, I just flip on AmericaOutloud.com. Absolutely excellent programming, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, weekends and everything. There's something for everybody. There's something interesting. There's always people, you know, saying things that you need to think about or things you agree or disagree with, right? So I'm telling you, go out there and listen to the other hosts, the other shows. It doesn't matter what time you turn it on. Get the app on your phone. Listen. It's really a great experience for talk radio. And I'm a talk radio person. I've loved talk radio since I'm a kid. When I was 15 years old, I started listening to talk radio. I don't even know how I got caught up in it. But I was flipping through the dial one day. You know, it's back when AM radio had, you know, music on it. And you're listening to Top 40 or whatever it was, you know, before I got into my rock and roll days. And I'm listening to, probably in my backyard, put a radio on and, you know, cleaning up the backyard or something. And I heard this guy named Bob Grant out of New York, WABC Radio. Bob Grant, and I had never heard someone like him before, you know. I wasn't really political, but I started to have some political thoughts in my head, what I thought was right, what I thought was wrong. And listening to Bob Grant, I started to realize, you know, wow, I agree with that. I kind of feel that way, you know, and as you start to learn about it, you realize it's a very conservative point of view. And he was funny. You know, he was caustic to some people. He used to tell me, get off my phone, right? When he didn't like somebody. Very entertaining. But I fell in love with talk radio. And over the years, I've listened to liberal hosts. I've listened to conservative hosts. If they make sense, yeah, if they make sense, I can listen to anybody, you know, because you can learn something from anybody. That's what I find with AmericaOutloud.com. There are so many different hosts, so many different points of view. You really need to spend a little time. Do yourself a favor if you like talk radio. Go check it out. That's my push for the station because I'm telling you, it's awesome. I listen to it all the time. All right, so Joe Biden and his commentary. Now, if Donald Trump came out and made a statement about anything, and he was incorrect in the information he gave out, do you think the press would ask questions about that? Do you think they would go and research what he said and then come back and throw it in his face in the briefing and everywhere he goes, yelling at the helicopter, Mr. President, do you know you got this wrong when you said this? What do you say about that? Right? We know that that's what would happen. So the other day, Joe Biden was making a statement somewhere, and he came out and he was talking about the history that we teach our children, which is interesting because there's a lot in the news about this, the teaching and training we're doing now in this attempt to broaden our perspective on race relations in America. You know, what are the things we really do need to work on? What are the things that we need to listen to people who maybe we haven't listened to before to maybe change the paradigm a little bit? I think there's always room to improve, but I think it goes both ways. Right? It can't just be one group of people telling people, well, you have to do this now, or you have to do that, because that doesn't work, because we all have points of view. We all have legitimate points of view, and we need to try and find a way to bring that together. So Joe Biden is making a speech somewhere, and he's trying to, I don't know, win over the crowd. You know, he's trying to work for minority votes, and he says, you know, the history we teach our kids is really not good. Matter of fact, you know, everybody's saying that you know, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. He didn't invent the light bulb. An African-American man invented the light bulb, but we don't teach our kids that, right? Now, doesn't that sound like a little bit like Barack Obama when he said, you didn't build that. Other people did, right? So Joe Biden says Thomas Edison didn't invent the light bulb. A black man did. And I say, oh, really? I was intrigued by that. I said, I always was taught that Thomas Edison invented the incandescent light bulb. So I go look it up. I'm trying to figure out what they're, because I want to know the truth. I don't have any invested interest here that, well, if Biden said it, I don't believe it. I want to go look it up. This is what we're all supposed to do. Let's get the truth. And what I found was that, no, Thomas Edison did invent the incandescent light bulb. A year or so later, there was a black man, an inventor, who created a better incandescent filament. You know, the thing that glows inside the light bulb that lasted much, much longer than the one Thomas Edison had created. So the reality is, no, Thomas Edison did invent the light bulb. This black man, this inventor, brilliant guy, created a better incandescent filament. That's outstanding. That's what we should know that too. I want to know that information, right? It's amazing. You know, maybe that's something we can look at. You know, great inventors, great minority inventors that we don't always hear about. Usually you hear about the first invention, the light bulb. You don't hear about the improvements in the light bulb. You know, we hear about, you know, the internet, but we don't hear about the improvements. And there's lots of people out there of all races that come up with brilliant ideas. We should learn about all of them. I think that's all important. But Biden saying that, he was wrong. He's factually wrong. Has anybody heard him questioned about that? Has anybody thrown that in his face that he got that wrong? Are they yelling at him on his bus or where, however he gets around? No, not a word. Because the press is not doing their job. The press is no longer a viable institution. It is biased. It is taking sides. It is politically driven, ideologically driven. They lie. They make things up. They run with stories that don't have real sources, which takes me back to segment one. And of course, I got caught off guard, and I was running. So when I was talking about the Atlantic story, where they had four sources that say Trump disparaged our military, there was a guy there with Trump when he was at that location. Matter of fact, there was a lot of people there, including John Bolton. John Bolton does not like President Trump. He wrote a book to try and hurt him and disparage him. He was fired from his position by Trump, and he came out swinging, trying to hurt Trump. He's not a man who's there to help Trump, right? He's a never-Trumper type of guy now. He came out and said that, listen, I was there at the time when President Trump was there. He did not say those things. I did not hear it. Because you think for one second, a guy that has a book about being Trump being bad, if he could jump into the fray and go, hey, I don't care what they say. I was there. I heard it. I'm a named source. I wrote a book. How many more books would that sell? Right? So the fact that John Bolton says, I was there and Trump didn't say it, it does two things. One, it shows the nonsense of the people on the left who they won't come forward and give their name because they're afraid of mean tweets. That was the reason that the publisher gave, that they won't come forward because of the mean tweets. And John Bolton, who has attacked President Trump, came out and said, no, I was there, and he didn't. That I give John Bolton credit for that. I give him, he gets one step further back into the good guy role, right? Because at least he's being honest. He says, I have a chance to smack this guy, and I can't because he didn't do what they're saying he did. That's a good thing. Honesty is all we're asking for, right? Honesty is what we're asking for. All right, so I want to bring up something that's good, some good news that involves some law enforcement people and some things that are going on. So I have started a group with a friend of mine, Lieutenant George Corbin. We're doing what's called Blue Hearts Together. And that's trying to, you know, support our police officers and support our communities and bring everyone together. And you can find that on my Facebook under Joseph Pangaro. You can find Blue Hearts Together. And we're trying to build training for law enforcement so that we can help our law enforcement officers hear the communities they serve and the communities they serve to understand what police need from them. Because like I said, it's a two-way street, right? It's not enough just for people to say, we don't want to get shot by the cops when we resist arrest. No, somebody has to say, you don't get to resist arrest. Don't resist arrest. Go to court and fight your case. You don't fight with the officer on the street. We need to bring everyone together. So that's what George and I are trying to do. We're trying to hear everyone and do this. And I saw a good story. We want to report some good things. So there's an officer, and I'm going to say if I can pronounce his name, Terrell Potter. Officer Terrell Potter from Alabama. He was in a situation where he needed a kidney transplant. And apparently he had one, and the first one failed, and he would have to wait several years, almost up to 8 years on the list. Once you get one that don't work, you're back on the bottom of the list. I guess that's how it goes. And a woman came forward, Jocelyn Jones. Now, Jocelyn Jones came forward and offered her kidney to save this officer's life, which, amazing, right? It's one thing if it's somebody in your family, right? Somebody in your family, one of your children, your wife, your mother, your father, your husband, whatever, needs an organ, needs a kidney. Well, you're probably going to step up and do the right thing to save them. They're your family, right? When it's not your family, how many times do we know about people that need organs and we don't We don't jump into the fray. You know, we don't go, hey, yeah, I got two kidneys. I'll give one, you know, unless it's somebody we know. That's a huge commitment to do. It's a life-changing kind of a thing, right? Should we do it? As the father of a daughter who may need a liver someday, I would say yes. You know, I think we should all be organ donors and do what we can. But I also know that it's very hard. You know, you can't just run into the hospital and go, okay, take my kidney for whoever needs it. People just don't do that. Well, Jocelyn Jones did that. She offered her kidney to Officer Potter. What's interesting about the story is that Jocelyn Jones apparently had been arrested by Officer Potter many, many times in the course of his career because she had a drug problem. She had an opioid problem, and he arrested her many, many times. Well, the woman has done what many people cannot do who are hooked on opium. She got off, she got clean, she got sober, she turned her life around, which is absolutely fantastic. What a tremendous thing to be able to turn your life around and to save yourself from such a horrible thing as opium addiction. Then she saw that this officer who had arrested her needed a kidney, and she offered her kidney to save his life. Isn't that amazing? I think that covers both grounds. Someone, not her family, and someone who had arrested her. You would think she'd have an animosity for that person. But instead, she didn't. She did the right thing, and she offered that organ to save this man's life. And I want to say kudos to Jocelyn Jones. You are a great example for all of us. And like I said, you know, my daughter, who's healthy and wonderful and beautiful, she may need a liver transplant someday. It's one of the things that happens to people out there. So if you can be an organ donor, I strongly suggest that you become an organ donor. You know, check it off on your driver's license, send in the card, go on the internet, whatever you want to do. If you think about it, how you can, you know, you can change people's lives by your organs that you will not need once you're expired, that could save someone's life. I recently saw a picture on social media. I wish I could remember the people's names. It was absolutely beautiful. There was this man who had needed a heart transplant, and the mom and dad of a young man who died donated his organs, including his heart, and it saved this man's life. And the picture, see, I get all caught up in this. The picture was so amazing. First of all, the guy who got the organ was an African-American guy. And the kid who donated it, who died, was a white kid. His mother and father are white kids. And they are hugging him and listening to the heart beating in his chest. That is amazing. And yes, you're hearing Lieutenant Joe come overwhelmed with joy. Because I think it's amazing. We can all come together. These are things we're trying to talk about. You know, people can do these things. We really are a good people. This is how we solve problems. By realizing we're all just people. Doesn't matter the color of our skin, who we pray to, doesn't matter who we love, we are all people. We need to listen to each other and see what we can do to help each other to solve the problems of our nation. Not just point fingers, not demand that pound of flesh. Sure, a lot of people have done us wrong. A lot of people have had wrong done to them. Well, if all we're going to do is run around demanding apologies, demanding payment, demanding a pound of flesh, demanding mea culpas. If that's all we're going to do, that's going to consume us. That's what happens. That's what anger and hatred does. Forgiveness is the key to moving ahead. You know, Martin Luther King, I'm going to paraphrase him again. He says, violence is not the way to solve an issue. All violence does is create more problems, more anger, more pain. Right? That's not how you do it. Love is what solves problems. So when we see our cities burning, we watch and we see rioters tearing places apart. We see people getting beat up. We see people getting shot on the street. We see these horrible, ugly things. Well, one group is using violence as a way to get their message out and to find the change that they want, while other groups are being victimized by that message. How in the world does anybody think that by you injuring, damaging, shooting, killing is going to get me to do the right thing when I'm scared to death what you're going to do? That never works. which is another thing we need to look at. Why would you okay, you've made your message. We understand. We need to listen to each other. We need to hear. Let's take a deep breath and see what we can do to fix any problems that are there. But by continuing violence, we're never going to fix the problems because we're not in a fix the problem mode. We're in a survival mode. And when you endanger people, they go into survival of themselves mode. They worry about themselves. They're not worried about listening to your message because they're afraid they're going to get hurt. How are we ever going to solve problems if we're afraid we're going to get hurt? That's why we need to come together. We need the violence to stop, right? The violence has to stop. If it doesn't, we're going to see some long-term effects here because people are already talking about, you know, now their hearts are turning. Their hearts are turning to, hey, man, I don't want any part of this violence. This is bad. I can't hear your message now, which is really going to be a serious problem for people. So as we look down the road here, I want to talk about that violence and what happens with it. New York, near and dear to my heart. I like New York. I talk about it once in a while. My daughter goes to college there. Although she's not going there now, they're all remote, so she's home. She's not in school, but we see the violence on the street of New York. We saw the other night a protest going on in Times Square. You can't go to Times Square anymore. It was a great place to go. It was so beautiful. You could sit outside. It was so magnificent to see all the, you know, the lights and to realize you're in the greatest city in the world. Now you can't go there. You get shot. You get stabbed. You get beat up, right? You get mugged. You get sexually assaulted because the criminals have been empowered by the mayor and the way that he's trying to deal with things by saying, hey, open season, do what you want to do. We're not going to stop you. He may not say those words, but that's the message that goes out from him. And I saw, you know, we've all seen on social media, you know, people getting hit and smacked and punched as they walk down. Well, in New York the other day, a 74-year-old woman is walking down the street and a group of teenagers goes the other way. And as they pass this 74-year-old woman, they grab her purse. Well, she turns around to try and get her purse, and the kid who took it punches her right in the face and knocks her down on the ground. This has got to stop. This is coming to all of our towns sooner than we think. We want peace. We want justice. We want fairness. We want equality. We do not get there by attacking each other. All that's going to do is increase the violence. Because when you endanger people, they will fight back. So my friends, thank you for joining me here on Chasing Justice. We went round and round with just some of the things that are going on out there. Pay attention to the news. Get yourself informed. Get an opinion and get ready because things are coming that we're going to have to be ready for. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. And remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. We'll see you next time.